I'll read the English translation first. Dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees is conducive to devotional service. While service to the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection and the root of the tender creeper of divine love, I observe with great care the holy days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami, for they are the mother of devotion. As my dwelling place, I choose with greatest of reverence and love the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. All the places where my Lord Gaurisundar travels for pastime, I will visit in company of loving devotees. So, this actually has 8 stanzas, but I selected only 3 because time is short and we can sing these 3 paragraphs, 3 stanzas of this song. Now, everybody couldn't get, but does everybody have access to that song? Can everybody read? Can everybody sing with me? Charishandra, you got them? You got them. Okay. In here, Guru Gauranga, what are you going to do? Okay. Pradhumna, do you have access? Okay. Bakaluk, you got. You got a coffee? No? You got a place to stay? Place? You made arrangement before. So today we will discuss about Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yesterday we discussed about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and briefly discussed about Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj also. And so today we'll continue with Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes? You see, I mentioned it the other day. I was supposed to, I thought of doing Harinam Chintamani, but then I thought that Harinam Chintamani is quite a heavy topic which needs a lot of concentration and studying. So then I thought, you know, it would be better to discuss about the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya. Were you here the last yesterday? In the it has been announced in the book. I mean the program booklet. Oh, I didn't know that. Who gave that? Guru Gaurav, did you give it? On the reception. Okay, how many of you want to hear about Harinam Chintamani? No, don't feel shy. Raise your hands, those who are for Harinam Chintamani. And how many of you would like to hear about the lives of Vaishnava Acharyas? No, I feel bad about it. Then what I can do is, I can give a Harinam Chintamani. The time is given at this time. I was thinking if I could divide the time, like for some time I can give Harinam Chintamani for some time. If I give a seminar on Harinam Chintamani some other time, how many of you think it would be a good idea? So maybe tomorrow morning from 10 o'clock I'll do Harinam Chintamani. Actually Harinam Chintamani is a beautiful topic. It is the very sum and substance of what we are here for. The touchstone of the holy name and explaining how the touchstone actually works. So, anyway, so today since everyone is geared up to listening to Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya, so in the afternoon session I will just discuss about the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya, and then in the morning session I will do the Harinam Chintamani. Is anyone giving any seminar at 10 o'clock in the morning? What's going on at 10? I see. And
some of them, you know, because they go to
like that's another thing. Harinam Chintamani actually takes, you know, it's an extensive subject. I was thinking, actually this time I was not supposed to give any seminar at all, and then finally, I don't know who sent it out in circulation. I specifically told not to give any circulation as such, because I was not even supposed to be here at this time. I just came in. So anyway, about Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, as I was discussing yesterday, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was the personification of renunciation, Shakshad Vairagya Murti. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to be a trader of rice. His business was selling rice. He was a rice merchant in his previous life, in his household life. And then when his wife left the planet, when his wife died, he actually went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he lived for many years absorbed in Krishna consciousness, absorbed in remembering Krishna and chanting the holy name of Krishna and becoming completely absorbed in Krishna. So that was, in this way he spent many years, and he spent many years in this way. He spent many years in that way, and then he felt that the last days of his life he would like to spend in Navadvip. So he came to Navadvip, and here he was living in a complete detachment. He used to live on the bank of the Ganges, often under a tree. Sometimes he would live, when it would rain, he would go under an upturned boat to stay away from the rain. And he never made any arrangement for eating. Whatever came on its own, he used to accept. For his clothes, he did not make any endeavor to wear nice clothes. To cover his body, he used to pick up some cloth that has been discarded after burning the dead body in the crematorium. He would pick up some worn out cloth that has been thrown away. When a person dies, he is brought to the crematorium, then he is bathed in the Ganga. And when he is bathed, then his old clothes are discarded and he is put on, his body is wrapped with a new cloth. So the old cloth that was discarded from a dead body, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to pick that up and just used to wear that. He used to make a kaupin out of it, and he used to wear a bohibash, just wrap it around his waist. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj oftentimes did not even have a japa mala. So he would take a piece of cloth and make some knots in it. And that's how he would count his chanting. And sometimes very rich people used to come to Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Very rich people used to come and invite him to go to their palace and stay with them. Because he was such an exalted personality that even that his fame, in spite of everything, his fame spread everywhere. And he would, and those people would come to Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj to take his blessing. And also in India, they have an understanding that if you receive the mercy of a great personality, then you get a lot of material prosperity. Even if they are not interested in spiritual life, by receiving the mercy of a great personality, one gets material prosperity. And one actually receives a lot of piety by serving a great Vaishnava. That's why they used to come to receive his mercy. And sometimes some king would come and invite him. One such king came to Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj and invited him to come and stay with him in his palace. So Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj kept on telling him that, look, I'm fine here, what should I do going to the palace? So the king kept on insisting, no, this is not your place, you must come and stay with me. Then Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, look, if I go and stay in your palace, then I will become attracted to your opulence. And then gradually envy will grow in my heart. And then today I'm your friend, tomorrow I'll become your enemy. So what's the use? So please, no, I'm fine. You live in your palace, let me live on the bank and let us remain friends. Let's remain each other's well-wisher, because if I go and stay in your palace, then I'll probably become envious of your opulence and want to have your opulence for myself, and I'll become your enemy. But still the king kept on insisting. His name was Maharaja Manindra Chandra Nandi. He's a very famous person in Bengal. So then the king, then Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, okay, if you want my association, then you just stay here with me. If you really want my association, then instead of me going to your palace, you come and stay with me. And together we live under a tree, and whatever food I get, we'll share among ourselves. And that king ran away from there. He didn't come back after that. So this is how Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was. And he was very, very staunch personality. He was very strict. Sometimes, at one time, somebody came, and Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj could read people's mind. So there was one young Babaji. He used to pretend to be very devotional. But one day when he came to Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj told him to get out of there. And he said that he goes to the temple to watch women. When the women come to the temple, he just watches them, and his heart is filled with dirty thoughts. So Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj immediately rejected him, said never to come there. And in this way we can see, a pure devotee can actually see through the heart of the living entity. And therefore, when we go to a pure devotee, our heart should be very clean. When you take to Krishna consciousness, we should make it a point to purify our hearts completely of all dirty thoughts, all materialistic desires. I mean, what to speak of a pure devotee, we should always remember that Krishna is sitting in our heart. And if we pretend to be Krishna's devotees, but in our hearts, if we have many many unhealthy desires, then Krishna will not be pleased. Another time, one young Babaji came and very proudly he announced that someone donated him some land in Mayapur. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj became furious. He said, does anybody think that he can buy the land of Mayapur, which is pious activity, worth to speak of money? Which is pious activity? What kind of pious activity does he have that he claims that he is going to buy land in Mayapur? So these are actually very instructive instructions, very important instructions of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. When we come to Mayapur, we should not come with a mood of owning. We should come here to serve, with the understanding that everything here belongs to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This dham actually belongs to Leela Devi. Krishna has three potencies, Sri, Bhu and Leela. So, it is a manifestation of the potency of Krishna, the dham of the Lord. And here the Lord's eternal pastimes become manifest. This land is Chintamani, made of Chintamani. If we are in right consciousness, then we can see, you know, what kind of money, what price can we pay to buy Chintamani? Chintamani, one small Chintamani can buy all the wealth of this world. If anyone has one Chintamani, he can own everything in this world. He can own the whole world. Because Chintamani, by touch of a Chintamani will turn any base metal into gold. And gold is the most valuable substance, most precious object. So can you imagine if somebody has a Chintamani, he can turn all the iron and aluminium and copper and brass into gold. And he can buy everything with gold. You don't have to buy with paper currency. He can pay solid gold and buy everything. What to speak of gold? Today, the wealth of this world is actually the garbage of the world, petrol, oil. Oil is actually the garbage, so that has become the standard of wealth today. What to speak of when one has solid gold of that volume? Now the land of Mayapur is made with Chintamani. So what price can we pay to buy this land? So that's what Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj emphasized. Now, another important point that I want to mention here is that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the most erudite scholar of his time, and he was the most powerful preacher of Krishna consciousness of all time. And he was about to embark on a mission of using everything to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But he took initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Why? Because he was embarking on a mission that would naturally deal with all kinds of opulence of this world. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur displayed that mood, then that mood was further enhanced by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada used more extensively the wealth of this world to spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada's followers will have to use it even more extensively. Because otherwise, Krishna, it won't be possible to spread Krishna consciousness. If we just sit under a tree and chant and make a vow, take a vow that we won't go anywhere but walking on foot, then Krishna consciousness movement won't spread all over the world in every town and village. To spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, in every town and village, we have to learn to use everything in Krishna's service. We have to learn to use telephones, faxes, computers, emails, aeroplanes, what not, cameras, television, VCR, tape recorders, everything we have to use in Krishna's service. And that is how Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually started. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually inaugurated that mood. But it's very significant that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spiritual master is Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is a personification of renunciation. Why? Because through that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is pointing out, or Krishna is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing out to us, that while you are using all these things in serving the Supreme Lord, spreading His glory all over the world, on your head you must hold the lotus feet of the personality who is an embodiment of renunciation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur embarked on this mission with the lotus feet of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj on his head, signifying that whatever I am doing externally is for spreading Krishna consciousness. And internally, my duty is to serve the lotus feet of that personality who is the personification of renunciation. It is very important that we harbor that mood, we nurture that mood, we cultivate that mood. Otherwise, there is a big risk of falling down. Material energy is very strong. And if we do not have the right understanding and right attitude, this material nature, this material energy of the Lord, the illusory energy of the Lord can sweep us away. Therefore, externally, while we are dealing with all these opulence of this world, internally, we should worship the lotus feet of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and the Goswamis of Vrindavan within our heart, because they all are the personification of renunciation. We will discuss about them afterwards. So it's very, very important that we cultivate that mood, we develop that mood. While living in the middle of opulence, and this opulence also is not ordinary opulence. Devotee's opulence cannot be measured. Devotee's opulence cannot be measured with any measuring stick of this world. When we have become engaged in serving Krishna, Lakshmi Devi will give us all the facilities. When you become elevated to Golok Vrindavan, when you become elevated to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha is not an not a ordinary place. All the opulences are there. So when we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Proprietor, He will naturally be in the middle of opulence. And while you are serving Him, we will also be in the middle of opulence. But within our heart, we must be completely detached. With the understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anashaktasya Vishayan, Rupa Goswami is saying, Anashaktasya Vishayan, Jatharham Pujanda, Nirbandho Krishna Sammandhe, Yutta Vaihagam. Internally, we should be completely detached. Becoming completely detached from all the objects of this material nature, all the objects of our senses. Anashaktasya Vishayam. Jatharham Upajunyata. We should accept whatever is necessary in rendering service unto Krishna. In order to serve Krishna, whatever is necessary, we'll accept that. Jatharam upajinda. But in relation to Krishna. And that is called Yukta Vairagya. Renunciation in attachment. Not attachment in that sense. Renunciation in relation to Krishna. In relation to Krishna. Nothing is mine, nothing is for me. Everything is meant for Krishna's service, everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And it is necessary, Rupa Goswami could foresee that in due course of time, to spread that this Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world, and in order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, we have to deal with all the opulence of this world. Therefore he made that specific instruction. They accept it in relation to Krishna. Nirbandho Krishna Sammandhi. Externally, using them, dealing with them, but internally, remaining completely free from all attachment. And that is the real renunciation. Not when somebody externally becomes renounced, but internally he is attached. That is a very dangerous situation. That is called phalgu vairagya. That's a fake, phony renunciation, artificial renunciation. It is better to be externally be engaged in dealing with the objects of this world for the sake of engaging them in Krishna service and internally remain detached than externally becoming renounced but internally becoming. A person who does that, he becomes a ghost. And that's another story. To understand that, you have to watch the 8th episode of Avatar. So that is how Krishna actually arranged it in this way. He sent Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj and made him act in this. Actually, all these devotees are Krishna's eternal associates. All our acharyas are, previous acharyas, all are Krishna's eternal associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associates. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. They all are from Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. And they came to perform certain pastimes in order to achieve certain missions, certain goals. That is, to establish Krishna consciousness in every town and village. It's a continuous process, especially when you notice from Bhakti Vinod Thakur onwards, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Kishadas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, it becomes very clear that it is a plan of Sri Krishna. It's a plan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They came due to, according to the plans of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we go to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was born not too far away from here. When you come to Mayapur, there is a station, railway station called Bir Nagar. Bir Nagar is the place where, and that is the area where Bhakti Vinod Thakur was born. There is a place called Ula Gram, that is the birthplace of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur's grandfather was a big landlord of that place. And he was like a king, very opulent person. And during his birth, his mother came to the father's house and Bhakti Vinod Thakur was born there in Ula Gram, Bir Nagar. And when he was very young, his father died. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's father died. And so Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his young days, he was brought up in his maternal uncle's home, or grandfather's home. And from his young age, he was a very brilliant boy, a very brilliant student. He was sent to a school in Krishnanagar, and then he was sent to Calcutta for higher studies. And he is one of the first batches that got the English education in India, in Calcutta, at that time. The British mission, the English missionaries, they came, and one of the first things they did is set up schools. And by setting up schools, they actually indoctrinated the Indians with the British ways, British outlook. And through them, they were actually controlling the country. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur gradually became a deputy magistrate, a very high-ranking government officer. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when he was in government service, he came across somebody, he came across a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Vaishnava, and from him he got to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. And then he became interested about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, you have to understand, it's his pastime. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, as I mentioned, was an eternal associate of Krishna. But in his, he is playing in this way, as if he did not know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he, at some point in time, he came across somebody from whom he got to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur became interested about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, and he started to look for Chaitanya Charitamrita. He heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu So he got Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is such a wonderful description that Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt that it is important that people get to read Chaitanya Charitamrita in order to understand the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In order to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in order to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to print Chaitanya Charitamrita with his purport. And he took initiation also. He took initiation from one caste Goswami. Those days, actually practically all the Vaishnavas, most of the Vaishnavas were like Sahajiyas. Practically all belong to some Upasampradaya or the other, excepting some Bhajanandi Vaishnavas in some remote corner of Mayapur and Vrindavan, like Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation from one caste Goswami. That was his formal Diksha initiation. But then later on he came in contact with Jagannath Das Babaji, who was a pure devotee and who was a disciple or who had the connection with one of the Vidyapurusha. And in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then accepted Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as a Shiksha Guru. And then Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj also was here in Navadvip area. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted his Shiksha, or he was the Shiksha Guru. And this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur became interested in Krishna consciousness. He became involved in Krishna consciousness and he started to preach very extensively. And while we can see how effectively he was preaching, Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time was the deputy magistrate of Jagannath Puri area. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was informed, the British government actually reported to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that there was one fake sadhu, who is claiming himself to be God. Like nowadays we have so many Babas, those who say that he is God, Babas, Surahs, or Anandas, they claim that they are God. So that is not nothing, this is nothing new. Even 100 years ago, that was prevalent. So this man, his name was Vishkishan. His actual name was Vishakshena, or name of Vishnu. But his common name, in India is the custom, the simple people, village people, cannot pronounce complex sentences. When the sentences are conjoined, it becomes complex, they can't like Vishakshena, it's difficult for them. So they break it like Vishkishan. Vishakshena becomes Vishkishan. So his name was Vishkishan. And he was claiming that he was God. And not only that, he was actually provoking the provincial king that he was God, and he came to drive the Britishers away from India. And so this king, some of the kings became very enthusiastic. They thought God had come to free India from the British, so they lined up with him, with that God. And the British government became worried that, you know, there can be a revolution. Because the kings are powerful. Although they are small kings and they are divided, but if they become united under this so-called God, and they will naturally derive a lot of potency, has a lot of enthusiasm and inspiration from him, thinking that he is God, and they can launch a very big attack on the British government. So they became worried, so they wanted to nip him in the bud. They wanted to snub him. So they reported to Bhakti Vinod. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur with the police commissioner went to that place and arrested this man. And then when he was brought to the custody, he was put into prison, put into the jail. And this he was actually, this Vishnishan was a tantric. These tantrics in India have some mystic power. And with this mystic power, they can actually do all kinds of strange things. Like there is some so-called god, he produces ash and sometimes a little cash. And people get impressed. How do they do that? They would have a mystic power to do. And common people think that, oh, he has mystic power, he has God. Just they see somebody is producing ash and they say, well, this is God. And if that ash is mixed with a little honey, what? They get even more fired up. And sometimes when they get some big customer, then they produce a Seiko watch or something. Then they get even more fired up. So this is done with some mystic power. So this Vishkishan has that mystic power, some mystic power. And with that mystic power, he actually tried to harm Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur's whole family became very sick. And those doctor couldn't figure out what was wrong. Everyone, including Bhakti Vinod Thakur, became sick. Very, very sick. As if everybody was going to die. So, sit there, you don't have to come. Just waiting to sit there. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was very sick. So then, one day, one of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's doctor friend, an Englishman, he came to treat him. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur told him what may have happened. So doctor was asking, well, I can't figure out what's the matter actually. Because everyone is so sick and it's very strange and I don't know what is the cause of this ailment. And I can't cure you. So then Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, most probably it was due to this Vishnushan. He is using the mystic power to harm me and my family. And sometimes these people use ghosts and they actually use them to harm people. They can even kill people through these ghosts. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur also told him that these people actually have their power in their hair. They have long hair and they preserve their power, their black power in their hair. And that also reminds me of Samson. Samson is, do you remember that he also had his power in his hair and then they cut his hair. So he became powerless and then they took him to captivity. And then he was chained up in the pillar, which was the central support of the palace. And then in due course of time his hair grew. So Samson was reminded that, look, your hair has grown. So you have got your power back. So Samson used the power and broke the palace. Anyway, and you can see the link that, even in the West people have that understanding. Of course, there they thought it is, there they are applying as if it's white power. but actually it's black power. The power grows in hair. When people have long hair, and through their long hair they have their power, it is actually black power. Now another interesting thing to note, like we can see that all the cultures of this world are actually linked together. You see, in India, we have a custom of when somebody dies, to shave the head. In Muslim culture also, when someone dies and they go to the funeral, it is a custom, they all cover their head. Why? Because ghosts love to stay in hair. That's why, we have a custom of shaving our hair. The point is, even the Muslims in the Middle East have this culture. They don't shave the head, but they cover the head so that the ghost cannot take shelter of the hair. Because when somebody dies, in most cases they become ghosts. And they may haunt somebody. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that to this English friend of his. And said that maybe this man has his power in his hair. So this friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur went there when the Vishkishan was being taken to the court. He went there with a huge, with a large pair of scissors, and he started to cut his hair. And it is said that when he was cutting his hair, sparks were splashing out of that picture. Now, those of you who watched the second capsule of Abhay Charan, you have seen Phalgu Baba episode. Now, like Phalgu Baba, I actually created Phalgu Baba based on this Vishkishan. Now, the question may arise, why did they show Vishkishan? Sometimes people ask. Like, that is not the way it is written in the book. I did not, because this Vishkishan episode took place in 1974 when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in government service. But we are showing Bhaktivinoda Thakur during Prabhupada's birth in 1874 it happened. So we are showing 1896. So that's why we created this character. It's also said in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's biography that Bhaktivinoda Thakur exposed many such pseudo-bhagavans like Vishkishan. He exposed and smashed many such. So, basing on that, we created this character, Phalgu Baba, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur smashed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a wonderful service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. He practically single-handedly did the reforming of the Indian spiritual scene. He started the reformation of the Indian spiritual scene all by himself. There is an incident that at that time a Brahmin, another group, spiritual group, became very common, very powerful, very prevalent, in especially in Bengal, in Calcutta. Calcutta at that time was the center of British culture. The British came and established their first colony in Calcutta. I mean, first setup. Not colony, but when the first government, their first foothold in India was in Bengal. So Calcutta was the capital. And the Bengalis were the worst victim of the British black culture. They were educating, the British were educating the Indians with their way of life. And the Bengalis were the worst victim of that. The Bengalis by nature are very intellectually inclined. And so they are into adopting new culture, new type of education. And so as a result of that, many Bengalis were becoming Christians. Especially the educated class of Bengalis were becoming Christians. Nowadays, of course, it's the other way around. In India, the low class people become Christians and Muslims. But those days, most educated people are becoming Christians. All the high class Indians are becoming Christians. Not high class, I would say they are middle class are becoming Christians. The working class people, the intellectual, educated, working class, middle class are becoming Christians. So in order to stop that, a group of Indian reformers, Indian thinkers, Bengali thinkers. One of them was Rabindranath Tagore's grandfather, Vijayanath Thakur, and Ram Mohan Roy. They started a new kind of a religion called Brahma Samaj, new religious group called Brahma Samaj. They thought that in the Vedic culture or Indian religion or Hinduism is full of superstition. That's why thoughtful, educated class of people are becoming Christians. Because it's very progressive. Christianity is very progressive. So we can say, because of the superstitious outlook of Vedic culture or Hinduism, they are becoming Christians. So they wanted to give some dynamic shape to the Vedic spiritual culture. So they took the Mayavad concept of the Vedas and blended it with the Christianity and created a hodgepodge called Brahma Samaj. But they became quite powerful because educated and intelligent class of people were backing it, were becoming influenced by that preaching. So this Brahman thought that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be a big catch because he was a deputy magistrate and such an eloquent speaker, a prolific writer, and a very powerful, determined personality. So they were trying to get Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a leader of the Brahma community. So in one big assembly, they invited Bhaktivinoda Thakur to speak. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the opportunity to speak about the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all the Brahmas became very disappointed and they wrote him off. And from then onwards, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually took up that mission of spreading Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he started to write. He wrote many books. Although he was a deputy magistrate, a very, very busy person, but he wrote many books and he wrote many poems. And he has a wonderful ability of presenting the Krishna conscious philosophy in most wonderful poetry. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur daily schedule was something like, he used to get up, maybe we can start the other way around. He used to go to bed very early. He used to go to bed at 8 o'clock. 8 to 9 o'clock. Say 8 o'clock. And he used to wake up at 12 o'clock. Midnight. And then he used to start to write. Then he would write through the night. And then in the morning, he used to take his bath, go to his office. And then he used to go to his office and he would finish up all his business by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now the office used to be from 10 to 5, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to the office at 10 o'clock and finish his work at 3 o'clock and he used to come back home. And And then he used to start writing again. And reading and writing. So his authority in the government became very concerned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is leaving his work so early, at 3 o'clock, when everybody is supposed to be there till 5 o'clock. So, and some of his colleagues must have complained. So when they questioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur why he was leaving so early, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's reply was, "Do you want my time or do you want my work?" So if you want my time, then yes, I can stay until 5. But if I finish my work by 3 o'clock and then I leave, what's the problem? And then when they investigated, they found that whereas other people, other colleagues of Bhaktivinoda Thakur have so much pending work, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's table is completely clear. Another time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he came, when he became involved with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, he wanted to come near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, Navadvip. And he applied for ashramstha near this area so that he could be close to Navadvip. And the British government refused to give him the transfer. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur submitted his resignation. If you don't give me transfer, okay, here I am submitting resignation. So then the government was compelled to give him the transfer. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was posted in Krishnanagar. Then he built his house in Sarugranj. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to spare time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to travel into different places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. And as I told yesterday, that many places were actually, all these unscrupulous people, they have pointed out that these are the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, there's the house of Jagannath Mishra, this is the house of Shivash Thakur, and this is Advaita Bhavan, and so on and so forth. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt that those places do not really tally with the descriptions in the scriptures, like Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Ratnakara. In Bhakti Ratnakara it says clearly that on the eastern bank of the river Ganges there is Mayapur's village, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead took birth. Gangar Puravata Tire Mayapur Gram Jathai Jonmile Sri Chaitanya. In the eastern bank of the Ganges. But that place is on the western bank. What they are showing as Navadvip of Mayapur is on the western bank. So Bhaktivinoda, and this way, then some people say, no, it happened because Ganga used to flow. Previous to Ganga used to flow a few kilometers down that way. And at that time, it was but when Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw most of the games, there was no mention that Ganga. Ganga seems to have changed the flow in the eastern. And if it is said that, well, the thing was on the western side of the river, then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the Chaitanya come with all his associates, there was no description of crossing the river. The Chaitanya Samadhi is still there. So this is how Bhaktivinoda. Then one night when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting on the roof of his car, he saw that this car here became lit up with a
saw some beautiful palaces and divine looking persons chanting the holy name of God. He was sitting on the roof, but it appeared to be like a dream. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur was sitting with his clerk, with his secretary, and his son, one of his sons. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur asked the secretary whether he saw anything. The secretary said, no, he didn't see anything. And he asked his son, and he said, yes, he saw something. There was this place, and he started to describe what he saw. So next morning, Bhakti Vinod Thakur came here, crossing the river, and he saw the place where he saw that area is actually a Muslim village, and the name of the village is Miyapur. And he saw a strange sight. There was a neem tree, and around the neem tree there was a forest of tulasi. Now the Muslims don't cultivate tulasi. And tulasi doesn't grow anywhere and everywhere. Tulasi grow where there is devotion. So he was very surprised to see that place and to identify that place as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. He recognized this one. So he brought Jagannath Das Babaji. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj at that time was 150 years old. He was so old that he could not walk. So he used to be carried in a basket. And he had a very strong servant whose name was Bihari. Bihari used to carry Jagannath Das Babaji in the basket. And he needed to go somewhere. That's how he carried Jagannath Das Babaji in the basket. But as soon as Jagannath Das Babaji came to that place, he jumped out of the basket and he started to dance, jumping 5-6 feet high in the air, saying that this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. This is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's prayer says, Gauravi Bhava Bhumistam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannath. So he is the greatest, he is the monarch of the Vaishnava community. Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma. And he is the personality who identifies the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya. So in this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually found the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing. When Bhakti Vinod Thakur went to Calcutta and begged from door to door just 1 rupee to build a temple. And he built a temple there in Jagupit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, not the main temple, the big temple that you see, that was built by one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. But my Bhakti is another Saraswati Thakur, with the patronage of one of his very wealthy disciples, Mr. Shokhi Charan Rai. And next to that, there is this one story building that was the temple that Bhakti Vinod Thakur first built. And when Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur discovered the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur also wrote the books on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Now this is the mission, this is the responsibility that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. He gave the instruction to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan and excavate the places of Krishna's pastimes and write scriptures. So in this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur therefore has been considered to be the seventh Goswami. We know the fifth Goswami. Sri Rup Sri Sanatan, Bhatta Raguna, Sri Jiva Gopal, Bhatta Dasana. Sixth Goswami. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur is the seventh Goswami. He is the embodiment of the sixth Goswami. And he discovered the lost places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. And he wrote scriptures to establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So this is how great, how wonderful personality Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur was. And we are so fortunate to be connected to him, connected to them. If we have a very famous grandfather, a great grandfather, how will we feel? Now we have grandfather, great grandfather, great great grandfather, like that. So although our business is to become humble, but at the same time we feel very proud that we belong to this family. The other day someone asked me whether I come from a Vasu family. Did you say that? No, asking. I come to the most aristocratic Lord and Krishna's family, who is the King of Kings. And look at this life, the personalities who are. This is our real family. We all are actually, we all hail from the most wonderful spiritual royal family. And these are the personalities who are our ancestors. Where are the personalities like Srila Prabhupada? Where are the personalities like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Baladev Vikabhushan? Tomorrow I will tell you about Narottam Das Thakur, another giant of a personality, giant of a spiritual person. I want to use the word giant. I will say another mountainous spiritual personality. So this is the family we belong to. And I'm not just saying it just for the sake of saying it. I want to feel, I want that everyone of us should feel like this. We are not just ordinary people. We are not just ordinary living entities. Just by being connected to Srila Prabhupada, we inherited an incredible wealth, a spiritual wealth. So we are the richest people in the world. We are so rich that we can tell a king that we don't give a damn about him. And that's how it happened actually. Whenever we don't like somebody, when we see that someone is not here spiritually inclined, we don't hesitate to tell him, please don't waste our time. It doesn't matter how rich he is. And people sometimes think that we are very arrogant. No, we are not arrogant. We are simply trying to utilize our time for serving Krishna. And if you are with Krishna, then no matter whoever you are, we have all the time for you. But if you are not with Krishna, then please don't waste. So whoever you may be the Prime Minister of the United States, we are not interested. Our best entertainment. Hare Krishna. All glory is Krishna Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Ki.
Yeah.
All glory is Krishna Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Ki.
Yeah.
Gaur Premanandi.
Ki.
Yeah. Shri Prabhupada. Ki.
Yeah.
Samvedo Bhakta Vrinda. Ki.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, do you know the story of the finding of the Bhakti
Siddhanta Saraswati? That happened during Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. When they were excavating the land, they found this Adoshadi Vishnu deity, which was worshipped by Narayana.
I'm sorry.
Jagannath Mishra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father. Actually, soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, there was a huge inundation. The whole land was flooded. And all the houses were swept away. That's how Navadvip Maya Sankara.
Is the location where they found the deity considered to be the location where the deity was found?
If that is the case, then yeah, that is where the temple is.
That's where the temple is. Can you find out the exact location that's known to the deity as a reference point for locating the book? We're using a vision line to step up to the sort of self-consumed time for us to locate. So there's a question as to where the actual exact...
As far as I know, that was the location of the farm. Because they were actually digging the foundation and then they found exclusively on the plane. Yes. Yeah, there is books of poems. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you see, Krishna appears in this age as the holy name. So when you glorify Krishna, you are glorifying the holy name. So yes. And it's very wonderful. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's main writing is called Jaiva Dharma, which is actually the essence of the entire Vedic wisdom. And not only the entire Vedic wisdom, it is also in relation to Islamism, Christianity, Shakta, the Shakti worshippers, Goshev, Nirvishirvad, Mayavad philosophy. He actually establish Krishna consciousness from all different perspectives. And this is how he established the supreme Krishna consciousness. And when you say Vaishnavism, then what the center or the central point of Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness is the holy name. So ultimately you must come to that. Yes. Yes. The question is, the teachings of Vaishnava Acharyas, to apply the teachings of the Vaishnava Acharyas in our life is very difficult. Like Vaishnava Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that when I suffer, I try to accept it as your mercy. Then following the instructions of the spiritual master should be more important than maintaining our own life. Now, it is very difficult to apply these instructions in our life, follow these instructions. So what to do? So my answer is keep on trying. What else can you do but trying? So continue to try. Take the instructions in the heart, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chittete Koriya Vaikho, Arna Koriya Vaikho. We have to just take it to our heart. And all
It's difficult, but we must try. But it will become easy. When you can't do it, it is difficult. When you can do it, it becomes easy. Right? Like a person who doesn't know how to swim, for him it's very difficult to swim, isn't it? But when he learns how to swim, it's easy. Or riding a bicycle, it's very difficult to ride a bicycle. But when you learn, it becomes easy. But how do you learn? By practice. Therefore, continue to practice. Keep on practicing. Keep on trying. Keep on enjoying. Alright? Okay. Yes? How can he, is not a question, I will say, how can he be made to understand? And that is preaching. And preaching is not only giving them a philosophical idea, a philosophical understanding. Good part of the essential part of preaching is our own behavior. So if we behave in such a way that they become attractive, then they'll automatically want to know what is there that has made us into what we are. So the best way to actually make them accept or understand is by behaving or acting according to the instructions of the teacher. The way they live their lives, we have to also live our lives without those ideals. You see, there are different levels of consciousness, or different levels of intelligence. The first level is those who just accept things on their sense perception, according to their sense perception. And in that also there are even other levels, different levels. Some will go for just their tongue. Some are attracted by their tongue. Some are attracted by their ears. The grossest one goes according to tongue. Like, look at an animal. What is his life centered around? Food. Like, all the, from morning till night, he's just looking for food. Right? And when the belly is full, he just sleeps. Isn't it? Now, whenever he gets food, like, so for example, if he has any sense of gratitude, then wherever he gets food, he will become obliged. He'll be sold out to him. Like a dog. The master gives him food, and the dog is sold out to the master. Right? And this is the Annamaya stage. All he understands is food. The gross material sense. Then one goes to the subtle material sense. Mind. Then comes the life, pranamaya. Annamaya kosh, manamaya kosh, pranamaya kosh, jnanamaya kosh, vijnanamaya kosh, and anandamaya kosh. Like, sometimes it is just taken into five, like from Annamaya, or Annamaya course is actually covering both gross and subtle sense. And then is the Pranamaya course. I am alive. what is the source, what is, you know, like then he takes his values are based on his lifestyle. I am alive. What is the cause of my existence? Like Krishna is telling Arjuna. And Arjuna, there was never a time when you are not there, the things are not there, I was not there. But you have forgotten. So here it is actually the pranamaya stage. Right? Pointing out about your existence. Arjuna, no matter whatever happens to your body, you will never die. You know, knowledge about spirit. So this is actually coming to the Gyanamaya stage. Then the Gyanamaya stage and then finally Anandamaya stage. So we can't expect that everybody will be so intellectually inclined that immediately they will accept Krishna consciousness or appreciate Acharya. Therefore we have to present it in such a way that that will appeal to them. Right? Therefore Prabhupada has many, many different aspects of our preaching. One of the aspects is distribution of food, food for life. Right? Another aspect is chanting the holy name. Another aspect is distributing books. Right? Now see, these are the three different aspects of preaching for three different types of people. Not that everybody will read Prabhupada's books and appreciate. People, those who are hungry, when they get the food, then they'll appreciate when they get food. When a person is hungry and you go and give him books, ask him to take a book, and he'll say, please stop business, I'm hungry. Either give me some food or forgive me. So, you know, for them, we have the food distribution. Then some people, you know, they are interested in music and things. So for them we have the way to present Krishna consciousness through music and chanting and dancing. And finally Prabhupada's books. So we have to, preaching means, you know, understanding where the other person is and giving him the right dose. If your preacher is like a doctor, and we are the doctors, the difference between an ordinary doctor and us, the Krishna conscious preacher, is a doctor heals the body, and the preacher heals the soul. Now a doctor.